right. Good morning. Call this meeting of the Senate Special Committee on Railbelt Energy Systems to order Wednesday, February 19. It's about 6 minutes after 9. Today we have Senator Gray Jackson, Senator Giesel, myself, Senator Coghill. I know that our other two members may have other meetings, but hopefully they'll show up before we're done here. Today we have the Senate Bill 123 in front of us, and the last time we had met, we said that we would make some editorial changes in the bill, and today we're going to have Rena come before us, Rena Miller come before us, and take the new things that we talked about and show where they are in this particular version. And my intention today is to get those in front of us. We've had some late-breaking questions come up that are hard for me to figure and frame. So I was planning on moving this bill today, but at this point, because of some of the questions that I just don't know the answers to, we will try to accommodate the best we can. As we have through this whole process, we've tried to accommodate the requirements, the needs of people that are all affected. But we did have some questions come up concerning a transmission question that I just don't know how to frame it at this point. So we will hopefully find the answer to that. Rena, why don't you come on forward, go through the summary of changes at this point that we have to date, and then maybe questions on the summary of changes, and then I'm going to take a brief at ease, kind of take stock of where we're at from the committee perspective, and then we'll see how it goes. Thank you, Rena.
Sounds good. Mr. Chairman, for the record, this is Rena Miller, staff to Senator Giesel and on loan to the Rail Belt Committee for the purposes of SB 123. You should have before you a new CS version G. Working from version E to version G, the following changes.
What I should do is I should probably entertain a motion to accept the version G as our working document. Senator Giesel, would you make the motion, and then I'll object. We'll go through the discussion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee adopt the committee substitute for Senate Bill number 123, version 31, LS0959/G as in Gulf, as the working document.
And I will object at this point so that we can go through the process. And we have Carrie Cooper-Ryder, who's going to keep me on task on this. And we have behind us Brett Mello, who has also got this broadcasted through the LIOs. Rena, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. So on page 1, line 4, we amend the title to remove a reference to project pre-approval for public utilities interconnected with interconnected bulk electric systems. And we changed that to requiring project pre-approval for certain interconnected large energy facilities to better reflect the actual section heading of the bill. On page 2, line 1, we changed the term electric utilities to load-serving entities. On page 2, line 8, we make a conforming change related to the restructuring that occurred in the previous version. Page 2, line 12, what we have in the bill is subsection D. It used to be subsection E, and E used to be where D is. Right. So the drafter just flipped those to give a better chronological layout to this section of statute. And then we added to preface the D with notwithstanding the requirements in E of this section. On page 3, line 7, we changed provision number 2 from develop an integrated resource plan to develop integrated resource plans. On page 3, line 19, this is where the ERO must demonstrate that it's going to provide for public process and whatnot and balancing interests in exercising its duties. We previously also said in developing reliability standards. There was a desire from the committee not to make it exclusive to standards and making it more broadly to all of its duties, and thus that change. On page 5, line 19, our legislative legal built a little bit on the section heading that used to simply say rules and now says Electric Reliability Organization Rules Approval. On page 6, line 3, the word provisions was changed to standards to conform with the rest of that subsection. On page 6, lines 24 through lines 25, on both lines, there were references after user, owner, or operator to of an interconnected electric energy transmission network. I believe Senator Michicki called out that maybe being a bit redundant to the first reference in that section, and the drafter agreed. On page 7, lines 9 and 13, we add the word all in front of customers. And again, that is to reflect that integrated resource planning should take into account all the customers that are served anywhere within the rail belt. Page 7, line 19, we remove the requirement to hold a hearing to simply approve an integrated resource plan petition. The requirement to hold a hearing to modify it remains. On line 20, we take out the stated ability for the RCA to reject an integrated resource plan. But on lines 23 through 25, we articulate explicitly when the RCA could reject one, and that is for form and filing. On page 8, line 7, we change the word the public utility to a public utility. On page 8, lines 27 to 28, we move the modifier in a cost-effective manner from modifying the facility to modifying the needs of the load-serving entity. On page 9, line 5, we correct the error that I made working with drafting related to the dates of a hydropower project exemption, so that the bill exempts from the need for pre-approval a hydropower project licensed by FERC before September 30th, 2016. And Mr. Chairman, that concludes the changes that were made to made in version G.
Questions or comments on these changes? Pretty much what we had gone through our marked up version on. So then with that, I'll remove my objection for the CS to Senate Bill 123, and we'll adopt that as our working document. At this point, I'm just going to take a brief at ease to consult with my committee members on how we move forward, and maybe ask some questions our drafter. So we'll take a brief at ease. I'll come back on the record. Just trying to figure out how to manage this question. But before we move forward, I do have Dean Thompson with the Municipal Light and Power online right now, and I have Noah Klein, who is our legislative legal, and Anthony Scott, who's a commissioner of RCA, online. Those two are for questions, but Dean Thompson did want to give some testimony. So, Dean, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
We can just barely hear you, so I don't know if it's you or us. So speak up again, and let's see how our sound is.
Okay, thank you. My name is Dean Thompson. I represent Municipal Light and Power. And MLNP supports this legislation and commends the committee members and the RCA for bringing this important issue forward in Senate Bill 123. The reason for my testimony is curmudgeonly that of a lawyer who has litigated issues since 1990 in the Alaska Rail Belt. And I hope that my comments will be received in that perspective. My only concern with Senate Bill 123 is that we have a longstanding exemption in statute through Alaska Statute 42.05.431C exempting from commission review or approval issues dealing with Bradley Lake, the Bradley Lake hydroelectric project. And the only reason for my testimony is to preserve the status quo ante of that exemption. And there is nothing in Senate Bill 123 as it exists now that I think could credibly challenge that exemption. However, my client has spent millions of dollars and numerous resources litigating over the scope of the Bradley Lake agreement and the Bradley Lake exemption, culminating in a Alaska Supreme Court decision that was issued in March of 2019. And what I do not want is for Senate Bill 123 to alter the status quo ante. And in that vein, I have proposed a one-sentence addition to Senate Bill 123, identified as Section AS 4205-795, titled Interpretation, which would say that nothing in AS 4205-760 through AS 4205-790 shall be construed to conflict with a wholesale agreement or related contract that are exempt from commission review or approval under AS 42.05.431C, or with any amendments to such wholesale agreements or related contracts. And again, from MLMP's perspective, we are completely in favor of Senate Bill 123 passing, but we do not want the passage of that bill to upset the already existing exemption for the Bradley Lake agreements, which have been in place since the mid-1980s.
Dean, since you read that, is that possible for you to send that to this committee, probably through RENA, with that exact language?
Yes, it is, Mr. Chairman, and I did send that to Rena Miller last night.
Okay, thank you. One of the purposes that I've tried to stay out of, Mr. Thompson, is trying to stay out of the litigation question, and I stated that early on. So now that we're kind of at the point where we've got the bill pretty much settled the way I think all utilities can agree on, this seems to be one of the last sticking points. Is it currently under litigation, Dean?
Yes, there is one case remaining before the Alaska Superior Court regarding the interpretation of the Bradley Lake agreements. But I would like to just emphasize that MLMP does not want to delay or block passage of Senate Bill 123. We only request that there be, either through an amendment or through my speaking on the record, a record that the legislature does not intend to state to change the status quo ante with regard to litigation.
All right. So part of my question is going to arise, and I will probably talk to others, but this would cause us to put in statute an answer to one side of that litigation, as I understand it. Is that true?
Only to the extent that nothing in this legislation is intended to change the status quo ante.
Okay.
Other than that, no.
And there are people challenging.
No desire to influence or change the status of the litigation.
Okay.
We are in a defensive posture here, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And the way I understand it, the that exemption is based on the timing of a bond payment. Am I correct?
In part, yes.
Okay. All right. I just got a note. Let me take a brief at ease. Don't go away, Mr. Thompson. I'm just going to take a brief at ease while I read a note that just was handed to me. Hang on. Come back on record. Thank you. I'm sorry. I just had to read a note, and that was just a what I got. It was a note showing what the Supreme Court actually dealt, what specifically dealt with. Maybe what I can do is go to our RCA Commissioner Anthony Scott, who's online, and then I'll probably go to my Ledge Legal and ask how I might solve some of these. There's a tension here, I think, that I need to ponder. So, Anthony, you've heard the testimony at this point. Help me understand how to frame this discussion as we go forward, because I think we have a general agreement that the Senate Bill 123 is now really about ready to go, except for this one conundrum that we have found ourselves in, and I'm trying to figure out how to frame. So I got Mr. Thompson's perspective. Now, is there a perspective that the commissioner has, or the commission has, from you, Anthony Scott?
Senator Coghill, members of the committee, my name is Anthony Scott. I'm a commissioner with the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. From my perspective, and I cannot speak for my other commissioners, I can only speak for myself for several reasons. From my perspective, this bill does not affect any of Bradley Lake's exemptions from commission review or approval of any of their contracts or any amendments to any of their contracts.
I mean, I think that's the question that came before us. And so from your perspective, this bill already is either silent, or is there any directive in this bill that might help us find that?
Well, I don't see a directive in the bill. It's just that the Bradley Lake exemptions, which were put in place to provide assurance of cost recovery for bondholders when the project was getting off the ground back in the 1980s, are in no way addressed by this bill. I am aware, I think, of a question that has been raised as to whether project pre-approval and the language around project pre-approval would require or not require Bradley Lake to get project pre-approval. And my thinking around that question is this. If Bradley Lake were to do a new project which required, that was covered under the Bradley Lake agreements, and that project then required the issuance of new debt before the Bradley Lake exemptions expire, which then getting a project pre-approval for such a project would be like getting Clean Water Act approval. It would not be in any way a review or approval of any contract. That would be entirely outside our scope. Entirely. And so the existing exemptions would remain. unaffected by this legislation. But I will say this, it strikes me that this issue is, I don't know how to say this quite, but I am really struggling to see what the concern is, in fact, around how this bill could possibly be construed as affecting RCA authority over any contract or contract amendment associated with the Bradley Lake agreements.
So probably the next question I'd have for you is, this something that the RCA has ruled on that is in litigation?
No, we do not currently have statutory authority around project pre-approval. This is the issues that are in litigation have nothing to do with any of this.
Okay. Thank you, Anthony. Any questions for Anthony beyond this? I was going to go to Noah Klein, our legal drafter, to help us see the two sides, if there is only two sides to this. So, Noah, you've heard our discussion, and have you seen the language that was proposed by our friends from MLNP? And do you think that our language is already satisfactory in the bill, or have you had a chance to come up with some conclusion on that?
Through the chair, this is Noah Klein with Legal Services. I have not had a chance to see MLNP's language yet. I don't feel comfortable at this point offering any observations on that language. I would like the opportunity to review that language and see if there's anything that is in the bill currently affecting their concerns. My initial thought is that no, nothing in the bill is affecting their authority, the exemption under 431C, but I would like additional time to review the language they're proposing before having any sort of definitive conclusions.
Thank you, Noah. And I wanted to get the discussion up, and because I started off the meeting showing that we had one last conundrum to figure out before I think this bill could move forward. This is it. It's on the exemption around the Bradley Lake transmission. There's a timing question, an authority question, and does our bill impact that, and should it impact that? Those are all questions, I think, that I would like to have answered. So I'm going to lay the bill aside, and we're going to get some input from our legislative legal. We'll look at that language, see how it fits within our drafting manual, see if it's special legislation, for example, if it's an authority that we can actually put in here, if we even need to. And I think as we move forward, if we can answer this question, then when it goes to the next committee, they'll be able to look at the policy call as a whole and look at any economic impact that it has either within the state or by implementation. So if you don't mind, Rena, one last point.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to put on the record that I believe Homer Electric Association wanted to also weigh in on this. I don't know that they were able to have someone available online due to travel between Anchorage and Kenai, but in fairness, I wanted to put that out.
That's a good point. And I think we don't have them online right now. So I think as we go forward, we will reach out to those folks. And obviously, they're hugely impacted by this. So it's important that we take whatever language we have had before us, including in the bill, our legislative council, and what Homer might put in to try to figure out what we can make as a policy call that will satisfy our ability to give a clear authority and then move forward. If we can't get there, I'm confident we can. So we'll just keep working at it. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can I ask Anthony Scott a question?
He's still online. Anthony?
Thank you. Hi, Anthony. This is Senator Gray Jackson. So I heard everything that you said in terms of the way the bill is right now. But would you have an issue if the language proposed by Mr. Thompson was included within the bill? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Gray Jackson, through the chair, I would prefer, before I answer that, to confer with MLNP to try to better understand what they're trying to achieve. I don't understand what their language would do, and because of that, I don't want to endorse as harmless any particular piece of language, A, because I don't have it in front of me, and B, because I'm not sure what their primary actual concern that the language is meant to address is. I'll just leave it at that. And I'm sorry, that's not a very satisfactory answer.
Senator Gray Jackson.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman, thank you. My understanding of language is that they just, and I could be wrong, but that they just want reassurance in black and white. That's how I'm looking at it. So, and that's the reason why I asked you the question, but I understand that you're not able to really answer the question right now because you don't have the language in front of you. So thank you, Mr. Scott. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, and we'll make sure that all concerned have a look at the language, including our own Ledge Legal and the folks who would be affected at Homer Electric. So that's why when I gaveled the committee in, it was kind of a late-breaking question that, even though I knew the issue was out there, I didn't know it would come to the final conclusion. So at this point, I'm going to lay the bill aside. We'll consider these things. I don't have a notice meeting at this point. My guess is it'll be Monday before we can get back to this. So I'll do my best to get all these things rounded up and a good policy call before us by Monday. So I'll notice a meeting probably for Monday before we get out of town today. All right. With that, we'll lay the bill aside, and we'll be adjourned at looks like it's 9:34.